Well, folks, many things in life may be overrated, but hope is not one. You can do without some things. You can do without food for a few weeks. Your body can go without water for a few days. But when a person feels hopeless, that's a tough assignment. It's said that most divorces are caused not by a particular episode or particular experience, but by a feeling of hopelessness. But on this Easter morning, I want to remind you that there is no person, no single person in this room is beyond hope. Not a one. And here's why. Because our God is a God of grace, and His grace is strong enough and deep enough and wide enough to touch any single person. The Apostle Paul said, God saved me and God uses me, and I am the chief of sinners. And if I am the heaviest sinner, then surely God can lift a lightweight like you. There is no person beyond hope. No one. Now, I acknowledge that on Easter, there's probably somebody here, there's probably someone in our early morning sunrise service, probably someone in this group, maybe someone at 11 o'clock, and you feel like you were almost dragged to church today. And you will hear this talk of God's love, God's grace, God's kindness, but you will say to yourself, that's fine for someone who's walked a little straighter and flown a little higher, but you don't know where I've been and what I've done, and I will always be on the outside looking in. I am beyond hope. But the good news of God is that God qualifies us for a relationship with Him based on something Jesus has done. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 these words, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. And I want to encourage you this morning to think of the open tomb of Jesus as a generator that just keeps right on generating hope. It just keeps right on. It never stops generating this flow of hope to people who think they're beyond hope. And my words to you today, if you think you're beyond hope, you're not. If you will open up your heart, if you will open up your life to the person of Christ, to the work of Christ, if you will open up your heart to the church of Jesus Christ, because the church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and that's how Jesus does much of His work in this world, and if you will open yourself up to Him, you will never be the same again. There's no person here beyond the reach of hope. But there's more good news. There's no circumstance beyond the reach of hope either. No circumstance beyond the reach of hope. One of my favorite stories is that story of the guy who was jogging one night. He's running through his small town. He decides to take a shortcut through the local cemetery, but unknown to him, and on his usual little route to the cemetery, there's a freshly dug grave, and as he's running along, he falls in this hole. He starts jumping. He starts yelling. He's trying to climb out. He's jumping, he's yelling, he's climbing to no avail. No one hears him. He can't get out. So he says, well, I guess I'll just crawl up in a corner, doze off, and tomorrow morning someone will find me. A few hours later, another jogger comes running through the cemetery, falls in the same hole, starts jumping, starts climbing, trying to get out to no avail. About that time, he feels a hand on his shoulder. And then a voice that said, you can't get out of here. But you know he did. Sometimes you find yourself in situations and you think, I think I'm just stuck here. There's a scene behind me of a road, just a rocky road. It's tough. It's a road of disappointment. It's a road of disillusionment. It's a road where you had hoped for one thing, but you're getting another. And there were once two men walking a road much like that, heading towards the small village of Emmaus. And they are two men who are disappointed and they are discouraged because some of their hopes had been dashed. They were believers in Jesus, but now Jesus is dead, or so they thought. They're walking this road to Emmaus, and lo and behold, Jesus joins them. He's right under their nose, but they don't realize it. And they say to Jesus these words, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Notice those first words, "We had hoped." Every person in this room has said those words at one point or another. "I had hoped the company downsizing would not affect me. I had hoped that my relative would have had their act together by now. I had hoped we would have seen the last of cancer in our family. I had hoped that when we said those words, 'till death do us part,' that would have been a reality. I had hoped for one thing, but I got another. I had hoped for one reality, but here's what I'm getting." And sometimes you're on that difficult road and it lasts for a few weeks. Sometimes it lasts for a year, for years. Sometimes it lasts for a lifetime. And these two disciples are despondent and discouraged. They don't even realize who's right there in front of their eyes. But when they slow down enough, they sit down with Jesus and have a meal, and here's what happens. "When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they ask each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" They said, "We're not alone. God is with us. God is for us." And folks, my prayer for you this morning and this week has been that you will realize that right in front of your eyes and right under your own nose is God's power, God's willingness to help you. Remember the old V8 commercial? I could have had a V8. So many believers, it's like, you know, I could have prayed. I could have asked God for help. I could have invited God into this situation. The Apostle Paul teaches us this prayer from Ephesians 1. "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe." This power is available now. And what kind of power is it? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. God is with you. Hope is right there under your nose. There is no circumstance you face beyond hope. God will help you. He will be your strength. His grace will be sufficient. He will see you through. Whatever the outcome, he will see you through, and his love for you will never fail. There's not a person here beyond hope. There's not a circumstance here beyond hope. And the third thing I want to underscore is this, that even death itself cannot overcome the kind of hope that Christ offers. Even death itself. Death is that inescapable reality, the unavoidable appointment we'll all face. I mean, this past week, the Anaheim Angels baseball team buried a 22-year-old pitcher This past Monday or Tuesday night, I forget the exact night, he pitched 6 scoreless innings in his 4th major league game ever. Just a young star in the making, a lifetime in front of him, and he's killed in a traffic accident on the way home from the stadium that night. But you talk to anybody who's lived a long life, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, close to 100, and they will still say, it seems so short. Our life is but a drop in the ocean of eternity. And Jesus Christ came to kick the end out of the tunnel. And so that every person who follows Him goes from life to life. Jesus said that He is the resurrection and the life. He said that He came to prepare a better place for us and that we will go. Jesus came and He said that heaven and hell are real places, that real people go there, and that followers of Christ know the resurrection and the life. Here's what He says. John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. In other words, you die a physical death, but you still live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In other words, there is a kind of death that a believer never experiences. A believer never experiences spiritual death, separation from God. Even when you die physically, you are never away from the Lord's presence. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. And then he closes and he says, I understand this is a bold claim.